Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles Debastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, I'm so glad to be here tonight. I'm sorry about last week if any of you tried to call in because the show had been canceled 2 weeks in advance of that. But for some reason, Blog Talk Radio kept it listed as a show. Did you know that, Nicole?
No, I did not, actually.
No, I didn't either until they reprimanded me for missing a show, and I was like, excuse me. I had deleted that episode 2 weeks in advance. And, you know, right now, there's all kinds of things going funky on my Blog Talk Radio saying my show is not due to go on the air for 10 more minutes, but it says on air now. So you go figure.
Well,
there's a few technical mistakes here, you know? So
of
you who tried to call in, I'm very sorry. We had announced it the week before, but, of course, sometimes my deletion of the show didn't mean they actually deleted it. So I'm sorry if you did try to call in. Nicole, how's your week been going?
My week is fabulous, Cindy.
Good.
Still plugging away, getting ready for the holiday season, and I'm looking to make some structural changes for myself, you know, in the upcoming year. So I'm just prepping for all that stuff and, you know, keeping myself busy as usual. So, but I had a very, very good week.
Oh, good. That's what I love to hear. Everything's been going very well here as well. And those of you who didn't get to see the Neighborhood Journal that Cablevision had filmed of me, if you go to my website, www.grantmeahigherlove.com, go to the blog, there's a little five-minute thing they filmed of me. It's a little short about what it's like to be a psychic. They did a very good job of it. So, Nicole, if you get a minute, you can look at that.
Oh, and I most certainly will.
And I just want to remind our listeners, if they get a chance, to please also go to my website, thegrantmeahigherlove.com, and vote for Best Psychic. It tells you how to do it. It's really easy. You just click on the link. It'll take you over to the categories, which is services. Everybody keeps asking me what the category is. I don't know why I'm a service. I guess I'm a service. And then you scroll down to Best Psychic, and it has my name, Cindy Sansone Braff. Check on it, click on I accept terms, and submit. It's really pretty easy. And the contest ends December 15th. So I just want to remind those people who haven't voted to take a minute to vote. So, Nicole, I see we have a million callers.
A million and one just now because another one on my end just popped up.
Okay. So
right.
I guess, you know, we were going to dive right in.
You know,
right?
What we're going to do is we are going – I never screened the first call. We are actually going to go over to the 410 area code just so that we, you know, that we're addressing you. The last four digits of your number are 2722. So we'll see what they have to say over here, Cindy.
I think that's Maryland, Washington.
I think so, too, for some reason. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, this is Cindy, and who is this?
Oh, my name is Marie. Thank you so much. And you're right, that's Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore, Maryland. Okay, that's what I thought. You know, that's a pretty big exchange. It goes pretty far and wide, you know?
It does. It goes down to the Eastern Shore, too. So.
Okay, good. So thank you for joining us. And do you have something on your mind, some advice you needed or something you want to share with us?
I do. I was wondering if you saw anyone new coming into my life.
You're going to love these cards. The first card that I drew is a soulmate card. So So, yes, you definitely have somebody new. You need to let go of the past a little bit. There's actually, like, two older relationships still showing up in here. Are you, have you let go of people now?
I'm seeing someone, it's kind of casual, but it's never gotten to be very serious, and I don't know who the other person is.
The other person
was someone that I was interested in that it's not going to happen. That's probably what it is.
Okay, so both of those you have to kind of let go. A little bit of time of looking inward. You got the Hermit card. That's a time where you look inward. You start loving yourself, being happy with life by yourself. Are you working on that?
I am. I've had major shifts in my life, and everything's changed. Not everything, but a lot of things have changed for me the last 2 or 3 months. So I'm doing a lot of reflection and growth.
Good. And that's a little bit more of that. Sometimes these are our wake-up calls. You seem to have, you know, woken up and getting the message that you're supposed to be getting. Love changes everything. So this is a really big soulmate love. This isn't a mediocre love. So are you ready for the big changes that this love will bring into your life?
Yes. I'm not sure if I would have been several months ago, but I am now. Yeah.
Now you understand why it hasn't been brought until now, because the universe doesn't want to bring us a soulmate and then we get scared and run away, or we say it's not the right time. So are you making space for this soulmate in your life? That means, you know, that you actually have some time in which you can look for one, help manifest one, and, you know, even just cleaning up your, you know, the space that you live in, closets, making room in general, getting rid of the old and getting ready for the new. Have you done any of that?
You know, I don't think so. I think one of the things I want to do is just get more active and get, I spent so much time working this past year or stressing about work that I want to make space in terms of just making sure that I have my own life, my own interests. So when I meet them, it's not, you know, I still am able to maintain that a little bit.
Right, and you don't totally become consumed with that person having to fill every minute, because I have to always remind our listeners, your lover isn't your babysitter. You know, you have to be able to be by yourself. You know, you can't expect that every single thing that you're going to be needing to do or every need is going to be fulfilled by that person. So it's good to have our own interests. And, you know, really, there are so many wonderful venues to meet people now, going to a lecture. I mean, I gave one at the Singles Cafe in Center Reach, Long Island, and we had about 150 people. It was quite nice. The problem is that I don't find that people mingle at the events. You know, you can't just sit there and expect, like, I'm going to sit here and everybody's going to come over to me. I tried to explain that in the lecture. We do have to get out there and talk and be the first one to open up a conversation. So a lot of people say, well, you know, I haven't been able to meet anybody. But if I were to follow them around with a camera, I'd be saying, you're giving off vibrations like, don't come near me, you know, or, you know, I have a lot of baggage or I've been hurt. So when you do go to a single event, you know, for some reason, people seem to have this really dense energy surrounding them. Like they almost didn't want anybody to approach them or talk. So we really have to work at, if you're going to events, talk to people. You know, if you're a woman and you're looking for men, that doesn't mean you can't talk to the woman next to you. You might make a new friend and through her meet that person. So try to expand where you're going to be meeting someone, but it's definitely here. It'll probably be more toward after the new year.
Okay.
So, you know, and I'm kind of getting the vibration that it's a little bit warmer weather. So, you know, it gets warmer earlier where you are than here in New York. So, you know, it could be a warm day in February, but it's going to be coming here. Just be strong, let go of the past, and just make that room for your new person that's coming. You actually have very good cards. Try not to overthink things at night when you're trying to go to sleep, because it looks like you're having trouble sleeping a little bit here. And it doesn't help to go over the past when it's time to go to sleep. Oh, I should have done this, should have done that. Why didn't I see this? Or the future, what if I never meet anybody? What if it never happens? You know, at night, try to just put your head on the pillow. Think about what your ideal soulmate would be like. See yourself in that new life and try to think those really pleasant thoughts before you go to sleep. Because in the laws of attraction, that will bring it. Because there's really no negatives in your cards. I could see you've been hurt before, but I think your sense of judgment is better. Are you learning boundaries a little bit with people, that they don't violate your boundaries so much?
I'm working on that.
That's a big issue for you in these cards. And most of us haven't learned how to say no or haven't learned how to build healthy boundaries. And I think that's what I notice whenever I do the single events. If people have had a lot of their boundaries violated, or, you know, they every time they're in a relationship, they end up doing things they don't want to do, including fraudulent things. Sometimes, you know, people get hooked up with these people and suddenly, you know, they don't know how they got in the mess they're getting in. So they tend to get really dense with their energy to kind of block people away. So there's a difference between being an open person and letting people rape your boundaries. It's kind of a fine line. So if you could work at being open but yet still keeping yourself separate and defined, that's an important goal for you.
Okay.
But you have a very good future. Please let us know when your love manifests, because it looks like in a time that we'll even remember who you are when you call. That's how soon it's going to be.
Wow. Really quickly, I had a reading with you many months ago, and it was about my car situation, and you said make sure your insurance is good because you might have an incident. Do you see that happening, or have I changed my path?
Yes, yeah, I see that now you seem to be at a person, and sometimes just having an accident, and I had the privilege of reading Nicole's Love Release It today, and we were discussing how Nicole's been running around so crazy that she has to be careful that she doesn't have an accident, because it's just sometimes when our mind isn't where it should be, and we're really preoccupied. I'm not seeing that in your cards now. I'm seeing like you've pretty much, you know, gotten your head clearer, and
okay.
That's important, because we have accidents when we're just really not thinking and we're really just running around with, you know, with blinders on. So I see much, much better energy in your cards, by the way.
Okay. Wow, that's good news. Okay.
Well, good luck to you.
Good night. Thank you, ladies.
Bye.
Thank you.
Nicole, did you hear what I said about you?
Yes, I did. I was laughing.
Okay, because, you know, you've been running around so busy, and the little incident you had was, you know, misplacing money, which was just
yes,
really nothing, but that could have very easily been your finger closed in a car door if you're not paying attention. So
absolutely.
Sometimes when we lose stuff a lot, or we start getting bruises on our body because we're banging ourselves a lot, or we slip slightly down the stairs because we're running too fast, the universe is just telling us that kind of behavior is dangerous. And especially if we drive a car, you know,
yep.
So just, you know, keep your energies a little bit, you know, focused on the good. And, you know, Nicole knows what I'm talking about because she's very psychic.
I know exactly what you're talking about. So, all right, Cindy, are we ready to move on?
Sure.
All right. We're actually going to go over to Camille in California.
Okay.
And basically she met a new guy. He came on really, really strong, and then he completely disappeared. And when I say disappeared, Cindy, I mean nobody has seen this man. So she wants to know what you see. So, again,
okay.
We're going to go to Camille in California.
Hi.
Hello, Camille.
Hi, Camille.
Hi, thanks.
Such
yes.
a good question, and I'm so sorry that you were a victim of the hit-and-run commitment phobic. They do this wonderful Lorison, and I'm not saying that he didn't care about you, because he did. And if he didn't care about you so much, he probably wouldn't have run so fast and so far. But the problem is, you know, these kinds of commitment phobics are like the drunk on the LIE expressway, where they, you know, they slam on their brakes and they drive off, and meanwhile 20 people get killed behind them and they never see the mess they leave.
Mm.
He cared about you. He pulled what's called like a geographic, you know, really disappearing. How did you meet him, by the way?
We live in a small community. He doesn't live far from me. We met at a local pub maybe back in July. Good conversation. We left it at that. Then I didn't see him, I didn't even think about him, until mid-October. I happened to be back at that same place, and we started talking about, I remembered he was a Scorpio, and I remembered we both like this particular rock band and sports team and, you know, certain foods and everything. And we exchanged phone numbers and Facebook and all that. We kissed, and that's all that happened. And then the next week, we happened to run into each other again, and it was, you know, pretty hot and heavy. But because I liked him, because I wanted to get to know him better, I decided to just keep both feet on the ground and not do anything further, just because I didn't want to compromise a future friendship with him. So, and then after that, a few days later, I've discovered pictures on Facebook where a woman had come to visit him from London recently, and she put all these pictures, she tagged him in photos, you know, mm-hmm. and they looked pretty cozy, and her friends were commenting on the pictures like she'd met her perfect one. Okay. Well, he and I never talked about that because, you know, why would we? We were never in a relationship. But a few days after that, I went back to another pub, and there was a mutual acquaintance of ours, a man who is very upset because this man that I like, Brian, I guess, rejected his friendship. So now this other man keeps saying, well, he's gay, he came on to me, and he's making all these allegations. And meanwhile, Brian, I have seen him. I saw he drove right past me one day. Well, one evening. I'm sure he didn't see me because I was all in black. But I turned my head. I saw his truck. But meanwhile, all these allegations, all this gossip around him, and he is not anywhere to clarify, clear anything up. He's just not saying anything.
Well, I'm seeing with the card that came up with him is also the devil card. He is a person who's a manipulator and does kind of come on strong. He seems to be, in the alignment of cards here, indicates some sex addiction. So
ew.
It doesn't necessarily mean he's gay. It means that he probably will sleep with anybody or anything. And that the woman from London, he probably was having this long-distance internet kind of affair.
I'm sure.
And lured her in like he's, you know, Mr. Perfect, because, boy, when it's long-distance, boy, can people really sound like the prince. And, you know, then she, of course, posted all of that because she probably thought they had a relationship. You know what I mean? Some people are just so stupid. They have these long-distance things they've never met. They believe everything the person's saying. And, like, telling their friends, now I've met him, he's even better than I thought. And meanwhile, she doesn't know him at all. So you really consider this, that the universe is watching out for you. Sex addicts are dangerous because they can bring us venereal disease.
Right.
And if we're not aware of it, I think this gave you a little time to step back. He came on strong. But oftentimes, sex addicts do that. They only, you know, but they're very good. The more dangerous sex addicts are the ones that come across as if they really care about it. And he does like you. It's not like he doesn't like you here, but they really do a good job of making us feel like we're the only one and special.
Mm.
That's how they're dangerous. You know, he's not coming out and saying, well, I just sleep around. That's all I want to do. You know, you're attractive.
Right.
I like you. Do you know what I mean? I happen to like you,
right.
So it's a little bit of a bonus. You should have a little of anxiety surrounding him. But basically, I wouldn't totally negate what that man was telling you, that Brian came on to him, because there seems to be truth in these cards here about that.
Wow.
So I'm just saying to you, if you knew that he was bisexual, you might hesitate to sleep with him, or might make sure you're practicing safe sex, or maybe, you know what I'm saying. So
right.
Your guides really protected you from this man.
Wow.
And I'm not saying he didn't care about you, because there is the potential here for him to have cared about you. But sex addicts, it's a very hard addiction to cure. And they could love us very much. They could be very much in love with the person, but they can't control their behavior. So, you know, it's one of those things when I'm counseling or I'm doing relationship guidance with people, I said, look, if you're married to a sex addict or you're with a sex addict, you're never going to keep them faithful. You might as well forget about it, either accept the way it is. But this is an addiction like anything else, and it's one of the hardest ones to cure. It has a very low rate of cure rate because for some reason people don't know how to cure it. But mostly the cure for sex addiction is something that sex addicts don't want to do. They can't masturbate. They can't look at porn. They can't
right.
sleep around, you know, promiscuously. They can only sleep with people they love. They don't want to do that. They don't want to do the treatment. That's why it's hard to cure. They can't drink. They can't be using prescription drugs or
right.
because that just gets them back in that behavior. So most sex addicts really don't want to heal the issue. So consider it something that he's never going to tell you the truth. You probably could have questioned him on the Facebook. I think people have to start
right.
being a little more honest. If you're going to have a Facebook and you're my friend and I'm not Google stalking you, but if I see these pictures, I do have a right to ask you
right.
what's going on with that. You know, I think we have to stop pretending that we don't know stuff that we know, especially if you're posting it in a public spot.
Yeah. And, like, she posted those pictures and tagged him. And I happen to I check from my mobile phone quite often, and I happen to turn it on right at that minute and say, oh, look, he's in this, oh, huh. And
just at that moment. Now, you can't do that unless
yeah.
you've got spirit guides telling you, check right now,
yeah.
look right now.
Pretty
and,
much.
And again, I see a really loyal, trustworthy man coming through here. Again, sometimes the men we're going to meet in pubs or bars can be players, and not always, but, you know, a high percentage of the time. So if you're meeting somebody in a bar, it might be a good idea to Google their name, see what comes up, see what, you know, get invited in their world so you see who they are outside of the bar.
Well, of course, yeah.
And I know you
yeah.
live in a small town, but... again, with this man, I think you're better off to kind of know that before you got lured in, and because he would have broken your heart. And people that they come and start and he disappears, that's really, you know, not a good thing.
Yeah, no one has seen him at either of the two places. And one of the bartenders didn't know him well, but she remembers him being very, you know, open about the woman who'd come from London, and then she remembers him saying that a woman at his job, well, not, he was on the job, and a woman came in and I guess liked him. I guess he's a server at a upscale restaurant, and I guess one of his customers left her phone number. And he was like, that never happens to me, type of thing, and told the bartender, well, are you going to call her? Well, maybe, I don't know. So then everybody knows that he and I were getting closer, but now everyone's, well, how's your boyfriend? Where's your boyfriend? Have you heard from him? None of your business, you know?
Right, and again, he does play a lot of his affairs out in public, too, so he's not the brightest thing. Probably he's running from the whole thing with that guy that, you know, said he was hitting on me, so he's probably just laying low for a while.
Yeah.
And, again, maybe he doesn't want that part of him known or, you know, made public. So, you know, what I see in these cards is kind of move on. He is who he is. You know, if you get involved in a relationship with him knowing what you know, don't be surprised you catch venereal disease. Don't be surprised he breaks your heart and that, you know, even if you were to live with him, that he's cheating on you. You know, these are red flags. You know, grown-ups can't be victims. Children are victims. Grown-ups can't be a victim. If you see this stuff and we get involved, we have to take full responsibility for whatever occurs for
right.
us. So just know the universe has told you who he is, shown you some things. You're an old soul. You want to believe the other person's lying, making up stories or whatever, but you're already seeing some contradictions yourself. So even if you could ignore the part that he was hitting on the guy, you can't ignore the London woman. You can't ignore the stuff that other people are saying about him. So you do have a very good five-year period opening up here, so and a really nice man coming. So just trust your gut a little bit on things. And, again, it's not as if these people don't care about us. They can love us. That doesn't mean they're going to change their behavior. That's the horrible thing about it. Look at all the beautiful actresses that are married to sex addicts. Is there anything wrong with these women? They're beautiful. They're smart. They're talented. They have money. They're kind. And yet these men cheat on them.
Wow.
So, this is a common occurrence, so it really has nothing to do with the person who's being cheated on. It has to do with the sex addict. So there's one thing to distinguish. Is somebody a player? Are they a sex addict?
Right.
I mean, those are things, you know, sex addiction is different than being a player. A sex addiction is an addiction like heroin, like any other addiction, and it's really just as hard to cure, if not worse. So, again, if you get the feeling, even there's a different kind of, they're sort of fall-in-love addicts. Every 6 months they're in love with somebody else. They just love the sensation of falling in love. So they lure people into falling in love. Then as soon as the feet hit the ground and, you know, the realities that this is a human being, they run away. So those are dangerous people too.
Wow.
If they break our hearts. So you got to have, you kind of have to figure out what kind of people are we dealing with. And if your gut tells you they're not quite normal or there's something that just smells rotten, trust that it probably is rotten.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you, and thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
Good luck. Okay, my Nicole, have you been screening, my dear? I think Nicole's in another chat room, and we'll see who else we have here.
No, Cindy, I'm right here.
Okay.
My mic got stuck on mute, so. All right, yes, I have been screening. I've screened several people right now, and right now we are going to shoot over to Brandy in Texas, and she wants to see what is coming up in the work area for her, Cindy.
Oh, good.
All right.
We like that.
Hello, Brandy. You are on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Brandy. I know work seems to be a big issue with everybody, and I try to always reassure people the one thing there's no shortage of on this planet is work. We just have to find the work that needs doing. For you, it looks like you're really stressing out about this. Have you been unemployed for a while now?
Yes.
Okay. And have you tried to figure out what it is you want to do and maybe learn some new skills? Because I definitely see you getting a new job here and it being a good job, but it's kind of building on some of the skills that you already have. What have you been doing in the past?
Yeah, I'm learning some new things right now. I'm taking a class.
Good for you. You have a grandfather who passed away. Do you remember him?
Both of them have.
Okay, because this is your dad's father, and basically he's the one that's telling me that he sees a job in the very near future for you. So that means he knows something that you and I don't perhaps know. Try not to go into every interview like you're going to an execution. You know, sometimes when you're really desperate for a job, we can almost mess up an interview if we're almost so afraid, oh, my God, it's do or die here.
Mm-hmm.
The course you're learning, what you're taking, what was the course that you were taking?
It's to be an herbalist.
Good for you. And do you want to be working for someone or do you want to work for yourself?
Well, I'm working on a business, too, but that's not making any money right now, so.
Okay, because actually in the future, it looks like you'll definitely be self-employed as well. So you might want to get that sort of day job, but don't give up on starting your own business. Because sometimes we need to start our own businesses part-time and then they become the full-time enterprise. But it looks like sooner than later, have you been putting out your resumes or applying to places?
Yes.
Okay, and a lot, though. You're doing it a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and do you just go by what you see on the internet, or do you look for other sources as well?
I've been talking to friends, too.
Good. Talk to your friends. Also, you can go into places that you might want to work for and just see if you could drop off a resume or fill out an application. Be a little more proactive, but your job is definitely coming. There's also a younger man who died that wants to talk to you. Do you know who that would be?
No, I don't.
He wasn't particularly old when he died. Could have been 40 or 50. And I think he worked with you in the past, by the way, and basically saying that you're going to do very well. Try not to be nervous. This is a good year ahead for you. 2012 is a very good year for you. So you look inward, figure out where you want to go, but there's definitely a good job on the horizon here for you. So don't get discouraged.
And
you are hardworking. Are you stressing out about money right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that'll change too. And it's actually a good job coming. So, again, don't get discouraged and just, you know, see yourself with that great job because it really is coming. So, you know, I'm glad that you called because you probably just needed to know 2012 is going to be a good year. How long have you been unemployed now?
It's getting close to 3 years.
Okay, and can you do some? Are you doing anything to get money? I mean, to have you
no.
know, sometimes because sometimes we need to just do a job that's not normally what we would do, just in between jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah,
that might
I've applied for things and I still haven't been able to get anything, and I have a degree.
A college degree you have, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know.
I even
know.
Had two teaching certificates, and I wasn't able to get a teaching job.
I know. Well, you know, last year when President Obama in his January State of the Union was telling people go into teaching, I wanted to say, who wrote your speech? There's no
mm-hmm.
teaching
yeah,
job in the United States. What the hell is
the
matter with you? I was so livid at that. Do you know what I mean? Don't encourage more teachers. There's so many with degrees right now. So,
uh-huh.
But teaching degrees, even though you might not be able to you know, teach right now, they're actually good for other things in corporate America because teachers are good at publicly speaking, training people. Did you try to look in corporate America if you could do a job training people or teaching things in that vein? Because
yeah,
it is a trans. It is a trans.
I even applied at a gym and I couldn't even get an interview.
Okay, because some of these are though in. You know, your skills, you just need to figure out what it is that you need to be doing and what you can do with your teaching. Can you tutor? Could you try tutoring?
No, I haven't tried it.
Right, because you might be able to get a tutoring job. I mean, and you might be able to just do it yourself as well. So try to think outside of the box a little bit because there is definitely a job coming here, so don't get discouraged. Just keep thinking, what can I do with my skills? Let us know when you get that job, and please call back in, and we'll say a prayer for you. I know Nicole's prayers are powerful. She'll pray for you, too. She's got to pray for herself in 2012, right, Nicole? Because Nicole has to pray for her future, too. So
I'm always praying for my future.
I know. So, again, it's reinvention of ourselves. That seems to be the key. Thank
hey,
you so much.
Right, well, never be afraid to reinvent yourself, honey.
Yes, I know. I know. We're always reinventing ourselves, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
I always feel so bad for the teachers because, you know, they have these degrees. And actually, I think, you know, we live in Suffolk County. They ought to shut down St. Joe's College because they're churning out teachers that can't get jobs. I can't even believe they can get grants from the government when the people can't get jobs with it. It's terrible.
Wow.
You know, it's really
awful.
You know, I have so many clients that are so discouraged in their last years at St. Joe's College because they don't know what they're going to do with that degree.
Yeah. You know what, my brother, I got to tell you, Cindy, my brother is in the same predicament because he's actually graduating high school this year. And, you know, he wants to be a high school math teacher, you know, that's what he said. He said that he wants to teach, he does tutoring and stuff like that. He loves the tutoring and this and that. And you know what, unfortunately, my mother is like trying to steer him away from that. You know, she's like, you know, why don't you minor in education and major in something else? Because, you know, just, you know, there are so many, it really just sucks because there's so many insufficient teachers out there and there's so many good ones that are just waiting for a job that never get them.
Right, I know. And so, you know, that's a really sad thing. And I'm not a big supporter of tenure. I think that I'm not a big supporter of you staying in your job no matter what because that's kind of like you made your bed, sleep in it. All you have to do
Pretty
is
much.
Tell people you got you. No matter what you do, you can't lose a job. No matter what you do, you don't lose a relationship. And boy, do you get the worst out of people.
Oh, totally, totally. You know, you should never ever stop earning. You know what? You have to, like, even in your relationships, in work, or anything else like that. You know, you should never become complacent where you are. You know, because, I mean, even in relationships, think about it. The most common relationships that fall apart are the ones where complacency was there. They stopped appreciating each other. They started taking each other for granted. You know, I mean, those are the relationships that really deteriorate versus, you know, the relationships that are maintained and where everybody's always kept on their toes, so to speak, and things of that nature, you know. I mean,
absolutely.
I know personally, although my relationship is fairly new, comparatively speaking, you know, I never fail. Every second that I'm with my girlfriend, tell her that I love her, because I never, ever in a thousand years want her to doubt my love for her.
Exactly.
You know, I always tell her that she's appreciated, you know, that everything she does is appreciated, you know. I tell her how beautiful she is, how talented she is, how smart she is.
I finally met her today. She is beyond words gorgeous. She's smart. She's warm. She's loving. She's the kind of person anyone would be proud to say that was my daughter, you know, or that's my girlfriend.
And I'm proud to say that she's my girlfriend. My mother absolutely loves her. She spends more personal time with my mother than I do. You know, like the two of them have their little like buddy-buddy club or whatever whenever she's like in the area. You know, she'll stop by for dinner and things like that. You know, so I mean, I never fail to tell this woman, you know, how special she is, because she is special. I never ever want her to feel like just a statistic. You know, I never ever want her to feel like just another, you know, piece of a puzzle. You know, she is the piece to the puzzle, not just a piece to a puzzle. You know, and the same thing goes with your careers as well. You know, you should never ever sit there and, you know, be like, you know, well, this is it for me, and that's it. Always try harder. Always look for other things, because you know what? It's the only way that you as people keep evolving. If you stop evolving...
To be near people who do their job with pleasure and love. You know, when you go into a store and somebody, or a restaurant, and the waiter or waitress is just that extra smile, that kindness, that, you know, they're doing their job with a little bit of love, you really feel good about it, as opposed to when, you know, you're going out to dinner and somebody hates their job and they're really miserable.
Exactly.
And, you know, whatever job we're doing, even if it's not the one you want to do, do it with love. Do it to your best of your ability. It's not the person's fault who's on the other side of the counter that you have a job that you think is below what you should be doing. It's really not. So God really rewards us when we do whatever job we're doing to the best of our ability. And that's
yep, and also
too.
If you happen to be just like in a not-so-happy position, you know, don't take it out on the people that may be waiting on you or that may be, like, in that restaurant with you. Because you know what? I always make it a point to learn, you know, my, you know, like, prime example is, you know, a waiter or a waitress, you know. I always go out of my way to learn what their names are and this and that and everything else. Because you know what? Maybe just a smile, you know, maybe just something that you say is going to make their day. And it doesn't have to be anything big. It doesn't have to be the biggest tip, and it doesn't have to be the biggest anything. All it has to be is, you know what, and how are you today? Because maybe they just had an entire day of nobody asking how their day was going, you know?
Exactly.
So, I mean, just, you know, treat everybody with love. Treat everything
right.
with love,
and that's
because
good,
it's the only way to, you know.
And, you know, that's a very good thing when you're out on a date, like a first date, and if you watch, you know, that person that you're on the date with treating the waiter or waitress with disrespect, that's a good sign. You want to run away from that person.
You know what I mean? Oh, absolutely. You know, it's only a matter of time before you're putting something down on their table and they're sitting there not appreciating you. You know, so think about it that way.
So I see you've screened a lot of people. So what's going on here?
I've screened so many people, Cindy. We're going to go over to somebody else. Actually, we're going to cruise over to Leslie in Florida. And basically, she's just looking for a general, Cindy. You know, she just wants to know how she's closing out 2011. You know, the holiday season is, you know, soon to be upon us. And she wants to know how 2011 is going to wind up for her. So we are going to move on to Leslie in Florida. Hello, Leslie. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you that I agree 100% with what you just finished saying. In reference to treating people with respect and letting know the person that is in your life, that's your love or your husband or your boyfriend or whoever, letting them know that you love them every single day and letting them know how special they are.
Exactly.
That's exactly how I live my life. I tell my boyfriend
every day that I love them. Like, not for anything. Even Cindy said earlier about me personally that, you know what, I have to be aware, and I'm at the very, very I'm at a very stressful point in my life right now, you know. And she even said, you know, you have to be aware of the accidents and the things that you overlook because they could be damaging. You know what?
Right.
Should it be my time when I walk out the door on any given day, the last words I want, you know, my girlfriend to hear from me are, well, fuck this day, you know, pardon my French, or you know what I'm saying? The last words I want her to hear are going to be something negative. The last words, if it is my time that day when I walk out that door, are going to be, I love you, I'm with you, have a good day, you know, like, that's what I want her to hear last from me. Because you never know when those last words are going to take place.
Exactly, Exactly.
And talking
to
dead
people. And you always want to let the person know that you're loved, you know, that they're loved no matter what. Even when I fight with my boyfriend, I always tell him, you know what, this doesn't change anything. I still love you just the same. You know, I'm just mad at you at this moment, but I still love you just as much as I loved you before we started to argue. Except, you know, I love you, but I don't like you right now in this moment.
Right.
I still love you, but I don't like your behavior. That's it.
That's so cute. But also, speaking to dead people is a brutal thing to do because most of the dead want to say they didn't love enough. They didn't tell people that they loved them.
That's true.
How bad is it to, you know, I'll speak to people all day long. I like saying to the, you know, the dead people, you need a psychic to tell your children that you love them. You need me to tell your wife that you loved her. How ridiculous is that? Why didn't you tell it while you had the chance? But a lot of people cannot say the words, I love you. They really cannot say them. My mother never told me she loved me. Toward the last few days of her life, the last few weeks perhaps, because I went there like a four-year-old to see her and say, Mommy, I love you. You're a good mommy. I love you. She finally said the words, I love you. And I miss that mommy. You know, I miss that mother.
Right.
I don't miss the mother who never said a kind word or never told me she loved me. And I'm like, why do I have to miss the mother that I had for only a few weeks?
Right.
Because that was the loving mother. So really, all of us should say the words. The words are like DNA. They go into our being. They're not just words. They change our energy. They change our vibration. So when we say the words, I love you, it changes something cellular in people. It heals.
That's true.
When we say curse words and mean words to people, that unheals. That hurts. They hurt. So, you know, carefully choose your words because they are weapons. They can hurt. They can either heal or they can hurt. So, you know, all of us need to be a little bit more conscious of our words, too, because sometimes we don't realize, especially with children, you know, children just really respond to the words. You know, I was a children's entertainer for about 35 years, and my words were always kind and always loving and saying I love you to the children. By the time I finished a children's party, I would have 30 little children kissing me and saying I love you. I would make sure that the words were kind that were said because children really do respond to that. And people would be surprised. The kid that was the worst monster that everybody was dreading at the party, oh, my God, he's going to be a monster. I would sense his little energy and make him my little helper. And he would be the most delightful one because, you know, I didn't see him as a bad boy. I saw him as, as a loving little boy. So, again, words are important. Now, for you, by the way, you have a very good year coming up, 2012.
Oh.
In the laws of karma, you're finally learning the lessons that you're supposed to be learning. You are a very loving person for sure. It's a strong year ahead of you. Little bit of anxiety. Are you looking inward and trying to figure out where you want to go with your life?
Yeah. I think I'm ready. I'm ready for a change. I don't know. I was happy up to a certain point at my job, but now I'm no longer as happy as I used to be. But a lot of this is contingent on my boyfriend because we live in two separate states, and it's kind of tied into him. So it's like I'm kind of like, okay, where's that going to go? Because that's going to determine also like what I'm going to do.
Right. And again, how long has this long-distance relationship been going on? For you, how
long have I been in a relationship?
In the long-distance relationship that you have.
Six months.
Okay. And you know that love needs heart, soul, mind, body, like body in the same state?
Yes.
So
you
can't do this thing forever. Yes. Otherwise, it's a form of commitment phobia where we think we have a relationship.
Exactly.
But love changes everything. When you have a long-distance relationship, it doesn't change much of anything. You're still living in your own space. You're not sharing, you're not intimate on a day-to-day basis, you're not healing issues. So I do see a move here if you want it. Are you the one who wants to move?
I do want to move.
Because there's
move.
A big move here.
Yeah, I don't expect him to move because he's been at his job the longest, and I've only been at my job going on 4 years. So, I mean, he earns very good money, and he's in a really good job. So I don't mind moving.
Right, because I see him
moving. I just want to know that he's ready for it.
It looks like, you know, he's a little scared. He might, you know, in the 11th hour sort of back down. So I would advise you to kind of, you know, figure out this sooner than later.
Right.
Because he may be stalling. He's divorced.
Yes.
Because he seems to have had a hard time with his divorce. And some of the unhealed issues from that could still be scaring him.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's a little raw from that divorce. It looks like in the scales of justice in terms of a divorce, it wasn't the fairest divorce I've ever seen. So I can understand why he may be a little, you know, afraid of a committed relationship.
Right.
But you're not her. So, you know, she really did give him a run for his money. I don't know if he told you how much. So.
And still is giving him a run for our money. I mean, like right now, she kind of has put a wedge in between me and him, so I'm kind of like a little bit agitated and aggravated about that.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up, because she is a very vicious human being. Part of your karmic lesson is to learn that evil exists. People lie, they manipulate, they're not necessarily nice, and that's her. I would advise you not to give her that much power to put a wedge between the two of you.
Right.
And, she, you know, just know that he can get scared and run from this relationship. So, you know, it's better to know sooner than later. So,
right.
You know, be serious about, you know, telling him that you would move there. You know, be strong about it. Your father has passed away?
No, my dad's still alive.
Because there's, is this man's father gone?
Yes.
Because there's a man saying dad, so I wasn't sure if it was yours or his. His father is saying to you, fight for him. Because
you
want to
know something?
For.
You gave me a reading about 5 months ago, and you told me that his father and my grandmother put us together.
Okay, and you know, and believe me, I don't remember the reading. I just know
right.
I thought I spoke to this dead man before, to be honest
yeah.
with you. But being the volume of dead people
I
speak to, it pictures what my life is like. You know, you go to a party, and there's 100 living people that you meet all day, and
uh-huh.
one day, and then there's a 1,000 dead ones that you don't even have a body
oh,
to associate
my goodness.
With. So, but he's the one who's saying you've got to like fight for him a little bit and don't let her get in the way.
I am fighting for him. At first, I was gonna like give up, but then I was like, you know what? I call him Daddy A, and I say, you know, Daddy A, I said, you know, she's trying to come in between us. I said, but you got to help me. I said, you got to help me. I said, fight for him. You got to help me keep him. I said, you know, I love him. I said, you put us together. I said, and she's trying to get in between us and stuff like that. So
don't give
like,
her that much power. And
you
what
know.
You're going to do is pretty much be yourself, but you almost have to be the one who pushes this relationship forward. And you can tell
yeah.
him look, and that I'm willing to move and start the process of it. If he
uh-huh.
gets scared, he doesn't want you there because he's afraid of her, by the way. She's not the kind of person that goes an eye for an eye. She wants his left arm, his right arm, and his firstborn. So I can understand
right.
why he's afraid of her, really. But we
right.
can't give these Hitlers of the world that much power. So
right.
at this point, you know, move
and I think
it forward.
She knows of me, and she's trying to pin him to the wall. About
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
this is a very good year for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, visualize the two of you together, but don't keep it long distance forever because
no.
sometimes it doesn't.
No.
You know, after you know a year of long distance, it's either got to be let's do something about it, or it's really
right.
two people that are never going to move forward.
Right.
It just doesn't
no, I'm ready. I'm definitely ready. I'm just waiting. Like you said, that you saw two moves for me. This
right.
year, you know, I'm trying to move back to where I was living. Like I'm living in one county now, and I want to move back to another county. And then once I get situated there, I'm trying to find a job that's like global so that I could transfer from that office to an office to the state that he lives in and
good
move
girl.
Over there.
And that's what you
because,
do. Just visualize
yeah.
it. God wants soulmates together. So if you really keep this love soulmate and you want to manifest being with him, God will open the doors for you. There's nothing God wants more than for soulmates to be together. There's only 1% of Americans maintaining soulmate love. So anybody who does it, they get showered with great abundance. Nicole, are you listening? Any soulmate
yes,
couples get showered with great abundance. So believe that God will get you that job, a better job
right.
near him. You know, but just again, don't be afraid of that woman because, again, his father's saying she's even worse than I thought. He has hands over his eyes, like he can't even bear to watch what she's up to. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, again, Once we stop.
So he hears me when I talk to him?
Yes, of course. Of course.
Even though he's not my father.
But
I talk to him
he's
quite
saying
often.
He considers you to be his daughter, just like Nicole's mother considers Lisa, you know, to be her daughter. So, you know, he's very loving of you and protective of you. But don't give her so much power to separate the two of you.
Right. So 2012 is looking good, huh?
It looks like a great year for you. So
good.
Call us in and let us know again.
I will. Thank you
so much for sharing your story with us.
You guys have a happy Thanksgiving, okay,
and
a Merry Christmas.
Oh, yes, Nicole, we should mention that. There's no show on Thanksgiving because we want to have
Yes, of course. We might want to tell people that.
We might have a family day, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I know, so that's why I've already deleted the show, but
well,
I will check during the week.
Thank God for Leslie, because I honestly, I completely forgot about Thanksgiving until she just mentioned it.
I don't know where you guys are going to be, but I'm going to be on BlackFriday.com doing some shopping.
Buy something for me.
Nice.
Anything, an eraser, a pencil, anything.
Oh, dear Lord.
Okay, thank you so much.
Nicole, my time is not right on the show.
So I don't know how much time we have left.
Well, we've got about 9 minutes left.
Okay,
and, of course, I have also queued up more people.
Okay, so let's try to do another caller.
Absolutely. Actually, we're going to go over to Nick, who is in Long Island right now.
I was just going to tell you to please pick up Nick.
Say, well, there you go. Say, look, my psychic ability, now that I'm a little bit clear now, is coming up because I knew that you would want me to find Nick. And, you know, and obviously he's had some readings with you before, and he's looking for an update, Cindy. So
okay,
we're going to cruise over to Nick on Long Island, New York. Hello, Nick. You are on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Nick. I'm sorry. Last week they said the show was on when it wasn't supposed to be on, and I was glad you let me know because I wouldn't have known why they sent me a nasty letter that I missed my show.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you talking about? I deleted the show. So
I got back from the gym, and I was I haven't talked to her in a while. I have stuff to tell her. I left you a message, and I'm on your phone. And I was like, oh, God. I'm like, and it's silent. I'm like, what's going on? And then you're like, it didn't happen.
I know. I felt so bad about that. That was the week I had to do my lecture, so I knew that I wasn't going to do that for, like, weeks. So the show had been deleted for weeks. But Blog Talk has some quirks in it. So, and I'm always busy, and I never double-check everything. So I will try to do that in the future. Anyway, Nick, so what's happening in Nick's world?
quite a few things. Like, I was working two jobs. I was doing JCPenney and Party City, busting my ass. I recently met a girl going, because, like, I'm into all the horror makeup and everything, and so I did the New York City zombie crawl.
Wow.
And I was pretty much running through the city. I was actually on a photographer's website in a lot of pictures. I was on top of a cab. I was on top of phone pole booths and everything. So
wow.
It was, he's like, he even told me, like, he walked up to me, he was, you are the second favorite zombie that's in this whole crawl, aside from the clown. I'm like, awesome. That's pretty cool. But, it was weird because I was, you know, everybody was drinking because it was a bar crawl. I was like, okay, I'm walking through this New York City drunk. And there's an after party. So, okay, it's in St. Mark's, and I see this, like, you know, I start talking to people outside. And I thought, like, you know, I was like, well, I'm all the way from Long Island and I'm talking to this girl. I don't know if she had a lighter or because I needed a lighter or something, or I gave her a cigarette. I don't know. But I started talking to her and I was like, she's like, oh, I'm from Long Island too. I'm like, oh, where? Smithtown. And I'm like, oh, okay. So it's a little further than me, but she asked where I was from. And I said, and like, I was at Lindenhurst and my friend tattoos her. I was like, that's weird. All right. And, you know, I tried looking up her on Facebook through my phone real quick there, and my friend's like, we got to go. She's like, I forgot that. She said, wait, what's your name? I'll search for it. I was like, it's this. And I was like, I'm never going to see that girl again. I'm on the train, and I check my Facebook again. I'm like, oh, wow, she found me. Okay. I start talking to this girl, and then I ask her to go on a date. I take her out on a date, and it's weird. She's a spiritual person, too. That's what I was looking for. more and more as this girl was talking, I just wanted her to stop talking because it was too good to be true. And it was just ridiculous. I don't understand what was going on. I was so confused. What was going on? I'd hang out with her more, and, you know, one of the few times we hung out, she's laying next to me. She's like, "You're perfect." I'm like, "I'm far from perfect." She's like, "You're perfect to me." I'm like, "Oh." She even said, "Please don't hurt me." And I'm like, "Wait a minute. This is not familiar at all. Like, this is role reversal right now. Because this is usually the other way around with girls and me. Usually, please don't hurt me. Please don't screw me over." I'm like, "What's going on?" But recently, out of nowhere, she just stopped talking, or like I messaged her saying this and that, and she's like, "Sorry, I'm gonna get back to you." I messaged her Facebook. She's saying, you know, recently, blah blah. You know, my phone broke. Prefer the touch screen. I'm like, "All right, it's fine." And I know she's going through a lot of stuff. Her best friend left for another country to see her boyfriend. She lost her job. She has to go for not the bar exam for law, something else. I forgot what it was. There's another test for law. I forget it. Somebody else told me what it was. But, yeah, she's got a lot of stuff going on. I said, "I don't know if I scared you away. I don't know if I said anything too much, but, like, this and that. I know this happened, that happened. I know you have a lot of stuff going on. So if you need to talk to me or anything, I'm here." And she said, "Thanks, I appreciate it." So I was like, it's a little just too vague and not descriptive. So I don't know what you want. So I'm just going to back off.
Right, and again, it's the coming on strong that people do, and then the commitment phobia kicks in. So, you know, I wouldn't be too patient with this because you were close, and now it's getting less close. So it's never a good sign. Love, you should get closer every day, not now we get less close. And everybody's
right.
Got excuses. Everybody says they want love, then they got all excuses why. I got all these problems, so I can't have love. What the hell is that? What
know.
The hell is that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, love is supposed to be a wake-up call that's happy. You know, you got all these negative wake-up calls that you're going to answer all your negative wake-up calls. Why don't you answer your positive wake-up call, love? You know?
It's just that I haven't – it's weird, excuse me. I haven't – like, it's weird. I haven't ever thought of a girl – like, kept thinking of a girl like this. I'm like, I can't stop thinking about this chick. It's only been, like, only known her for this long. It's like – why is that happening? I'm like,
because
that's
a soulmate. Because soulmates do have an instant connection, but the point is, if it's an instant connection, then to run from it's not natural. And now you're taking it from soulmate and you're making it something less. So, again, don't tolerate it. If you wanted to be close, to be honest with her that you liked what you had, and you know, this is, she's giving you mixed messages, and it's just making you crazy, because mixed messages make us crazy anyway.
I'm seeing she's afraid.
So
yeah,
I would just be firm on it, and call her on her behavior. And again, if people have been saying, I want love, and I'm so sick of hearing people say it, and then they get it and they've all excuses why it's not the right time. And then they wonder why they're 10 years without a relationship. Well, how many times did God bring you love that you ran from, and now God's saying, I'm not bringing it to you anymore. I gave you what you wanted, and for some reason you couldn't commit to it. You couldn't open your heart to it. So, you know, I see with her she's going to keep running for a while, unless you call her on her behavior, and maybe it'll
really?
Wake her up a bit.
I don't know. I don't understand, like, how to say it. That's the thing, like, I don't want to say anything, and then they're like, oh, it's over, blah, blah. Because I knew she usually tells me, like, in the beginning, she's like, I don't like playing games. I don't like games. I'm like, awesome. This is great. Now I will know exactly what's going on. And, you know, it's just that I knew for a fact, like, she's what I was meant to be. And, you know, Sarah, who you read that it was with last time, too, she's like, well, remember Cindy said if you really want something, keep saying you want something, keep saying you want something, then God's going to give it to you, so you'll shut up. I was like, yeah, but I didn't want that. That came out of nowhere. That girl came out of nowhere completely. I was drunk. I wasn't looking for anything. I was just having a good time with my friends. But I just want to know how to say it, how to call her on it. Just be like, I mean, I was,
just
what,
be honest. Just tell her the truth. Just say, this is what we had, and this is what we have now. And, you know, call her on her behavior. Say, you know, do you want to be with me or not? And just, you know, don't make it so, don't give her all the power to determine this here, because you're going to get your heart broken.
Yeah. Well, that's what I feel like. I feel like that she is already, no matter what, she's already gone, though. That's, That's how I feel. If I even say that, like, I'm like, oh, she's going to be like, no, I don't want to. And then I'm like, oh, great. Awesome. That was
well, just be honest and, again, call in again and let us know what happens. But this is your generation. They are such commitment phobics. They can't commit to love.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? We all answer when God gives us negative wake-up calls. We got a call. We've got cancer. We deal with it. Why
yeah.
with love do we run? I think it's insanity. Human beings have become so insane. Love is a wake-up call, but why are you running from it?
That's,
so
I was
again,
afraid, I was afraid too, though. But like, I was just like, this is something really great. My phobia started getting in my head. I realized that everything that I get like OCD about is because I'm scared. Everything in general in my life, that's what I realized.
OCD is a fear disorder. That you have the
yeah.
OCD. It's fear
yeah.
disorder. Everybody would rather follow the path of fear than love because it's
yeah.
so ingrained in human beings. But at this point, you know, you be brave enough to tell her, I wanted to walk the path of love here, not
right.
fear. So this
would
is not good
phone
for
call
me.
Or message? Like phone call or message? I don't know how to do that. I don't know.
Phone call.
Phone call?
Phone call.
Okay.
Phone call.
I say phone call.
You think she'll
Nicole,
pick
are
up
we
really?
Up on the time? Because I don't know if we're running over. Because my
actually,
time...
we've already run over,
okay.
Cindy. So we're already recording right now. So, you know, anybody
okay,
that's going to listen to the tail end of the show is going to hear it on the podcast. So.
Okay. And I just want to make sure that we say our shout-outs.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, we got to try to stay on time because Blog Talk, when it's prime time, they want us to stay on.
Yeah, of course, of course.
And not let their phones up. Okay, so, Nick, call us in like a week from now. Not on Thanksgiving, next week, and let us know what's happening.
Yeah.
I'm sure all of
right.
our listeners
yeah, call us for the
want
next
to hear
show, Nick.
How you handle it. Happy Thanksgiving to all. Any shout-outs? Nicole, I'm shouting out to Lisa, your love, that she is a wonderful human being, and I was so blessed to meet her today. Do you have a shout-out, my Nicole?
You know what? My shout-out is to the same person because she is absolutely wonderful. She is my soulmate in so many different ways, and my life would just not be the same without her, so my shout-out is to her as well.
Wow. Thank you so much, and we'll all talk to you in 2 weeks. Bye.
All right, Cindy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.